Don't panic. For the next hour, let Steve and Paul talk you down from that ledge. They're the hosts who won't cop out when there's panic all about.
Welcome to the Don't Panic radio show. My name is Steve Vinson. That's Paul Schultz. And nothing you're about to hear is true.
That's right.
Love me right. What's the matter with you? Hold me tight. Smiling comes as no surprise.
So, you want to hear what I did last weekend?
Hey, yeah, what did you do last weekend?
I'm like, I don't even go, hey, why don't you ask me what I did last weekend? Just like, hey, you want to hear what I did last weekend? It was the school charity auction.
Mm-hmm.
And I got dressed up in a tuxedo. Which was a whole, I got a lesson for the kids out there, right? If you're listening and you're into the internet thing like I am, I was just telling you before the show how I discovered Amazon 12 years ago and I bought 144 pins for $8.99 and I'm still using them. And I love the internet. One of the best things is you don't have to deal with a person. You just get on there, you do your business, you're done. So so there's this thing for women, you know, the whole thing where women, when you're in a wedding, the women have to buy the fucking dresses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a total drag, right? You know, you gotta buy a dress for this. And then throughout my married life, every time we'd go to a formal occasion, she's like, I don't have anything to wear. I'm like, what about the last half dozen dresses you bought for the last half dozen things we went to? She's like, well, you know, those, well, they're not in style and blah 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 blah. Like, so finally this service came out called Rent the Runway. And you can rent, like, what you do is you like get online and you put your measurements in. Mm-hmm. And they'll send you like two or three dresses that approximate your measurements, and then whichever one fits you keep, and you send the other ones back, and then you wear it and you're done, and you send it back, and it's like a 20th of the cost,
right,
of buying the dress, right? And these are the latest. It's what people are wearing on the runway. Rent the Runway. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like red carpet dresses. And so she's been doing that for the past 5-8 years, and it saved us a ton of money. She looks great. Of course, she'd look great. She could put on a paper bag and she'd look great. In fact, she'd look great in nothing. In fact, she does look great in nothing. And we'll be right back. We're going to take a little break. I'm going to think about her.
I'll finish the show for you. You can go.
I'm going to think about my wife wearing nothing for a minute. Oh, yeah. I like that. Yeah. Do that again. Okay. And so then this time around, we had this thing to go to, and like I always do, I procrastinated. And I said, the last time I went into one of those tux shops and get all measured up and, you know, they're like, oh, we'll order your tux. It'll be here. You come in the day before the thing. You try it on. It'll be great. And you have your tux. Last time I did that, I went in and it sucked. It was a whole ordeal because it didn't fit right. Even though the guy measured me. And so I was dreading that experience again because you got to drive to the store, get measured, go back several weeks later, try it on. It doesn't fit. Then you got to go back again. I was just like, that sucks. I don't want that. There ought to be a service where women can rent dresses now. Men ought to be able to rent a tuxedo. Wait a minute. Men are able to rent tuxedos. So I got online and I went around and I was looking like, I was like, somebody's got to be doing this online.
Mm-hmm.
I found one, but I got worried because I said, they want me to put my own measurements in. And how do I know? I don't trust me to do anything, let alone put my own measurements in, right? So I procrastinated on that one until it got too late to go to the traditional place. And the morning of the event, I woke up and realized, I guess I'm just wearing a suit. Like the suit that really doesn't fit me all that well. Because I bought it 15 years ago.
Right.
Right. And then it dawned on me, I can use my telephone for more than just going on the internet. I can also use it to look up phone numbers of tuxedo shops. And then I can use it to call those tuxedo shops and plead my case, right? But I still didn't want to be judged. So I called up tuxedo shop and made up a story about having just been invited to a black tie event that night. Didn't know about it before at all. Just got a phone call. You come to this black tie event, but I don't have a tux. Do you rent tuxes? And the most wonderful thing happened. They said, no, we don't have inventory. They drive it down from South Bend. But here's the name of our competitor who does, I believe, do same-day rentals.
Ah.
And so I said, well, thank you very much. I called the other place. They said, of course, come on in. I come in 20 minutes later. I got a tuxedo. I walk out. And I thought, that's customer service.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what that is.
So, dear listeners, if we're not providing you with the laughs and the insights that you want, allow us to refer you to doitindieradiohour.com. Ah, shit, they don't do shows anymore. Well, you're fucked. Nobody else is doing what we do. And you can't do what we do. So
half the time, we can't do what we do.
So we went to the event. Mm-hmm. I had the nice tux on. I looked good.
Mm-hmm.
I looked good in the tux. I'm not going to lie. My wife looked good in her dress. We went to our event. Sometime earlier in the day, while I was still doing the making the... I'm like... I look like Leonardo DiCaprio in the Boiler Room, or whatever that show was. I was walking around on the phone, you know,
mm-hmm.
like negotiating my tuxedo situation, and then call waiting's come in. I'm like, I'll have to call you back. Yeah, and it was the president of the Dad's Club, and he said, "All right, look, you know that dinner that we do every year that raises like $20,000-$30,000 for the school? Yeah, we have competition this year." The church that's connected to the school formed their own men's club, and they're going to do a dinner this year too. And we have to do the auctioneer, when they're auctioning it off, is going to do a whole smack talk thing where the president of the men's club from the church is going to get up right after we auction off our dinner. He's going to get up there and say, we could do better. Our food's better. We're going to do better. So he's like, I need some ideas of what I can say, because, you know, president versus president, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's like, I need some ideas. And I'm like, you just want me to write some stuff for you to say? He's like, that'd be awesome. I was like, all right, I'll work on it. So there was a little email banter that went on too, from the president of the church men's club to the president of the school men's club. And he forwarded me that stuff and like some of the smack that he was talking. I was like, oh man, this guy's like shooting fish in a barrel. I got this. My problem is going to be like how to whittle it down to 2 or 3 minutes.
You know? And you know, leave out the F bombs, you know.
Right? So I write all this shit down. I send it off to him and I don't hear from him, whatever. So I go get my tux. We get our Uber down to the place. We go in and get a couple drinks. And there's the president of the school dad's club comes over. He's like, hey, I'm like, what? He's like, I can't do it. I was like, you can't do what? He's like, I can't get up and do the smack talk. You're going to have to do it. I was like, what? Yeah, you're going to have to do it. I said, ah, well, shit. Okay. Like, should I go with the harsh stuff or the sort of nice stuff? And he's like, you should go with the nicer stuff because the harsh stuff was pretty harsh. I was like, all right, fine. I'll go easy on him. I'll go with the nicer stuff, right? So smash cut to the auction is about to start, and the president of the parent organization. No, wait. President of the school board. Like, we're an independent school, so we don't answer to the, like, city school boards. We have our own school board for our school. And the president is married. She's a girl. She's a woman. She's married to a woman. And they have kids that go to the school, right? So.
She's a lesbian.
So.
I'm just picturing it.
She gets up to give her speech.
Hang on. Okay. Go.
So the theme of the night, which you may have seen on the, I posted a few things on Facebook. The theme was Casino Royale, James Bond, right? So she gets up there and she goes, all right, let me open with, you know, everybody. There were a couple of speeches beforehand and everybody's bringing up a James Bond sort of reference, right? And she goes, so I was asked what my favorite James Bond movie was, and I have to be honest, if anybody that knows me could probably guess this, it was Octopussy. And then she just pauses and looks around and the place erupts. And then she made, and I don't even, that one was so great, she could have stopped right there,
right?
But she made some other great inside, like, if you knew she was a lesbian joke later. And I thought, oh my God, girl just took the gloves off, right? She just opened it up. And I said, I'm not going with the easy stuff. I'm going with the harsh stuff. Cause I'm going blue because chick went blue. She's the president of the board. I do what I want to do. You can't do what I do, right? So we put our dinner on auction. And it goes for $30,000. This is dinner for 12, provided by the dad's club.
Yeah.
So it ain't no, like, Rick Bayless or anything like that. It's the dad's club.
Right.
So I'm like, that's awesome. So then as soon as that happened, boy gets up from the church dad's club or men's club. Should be called the granddad's club. He gets up there because he's old, and he's actually a Republican lobbyist in the state of Indiana. So diehard Republican gets up there, and he's super nice. He's like, we were inspired by the school dad's club. They're great. They raise a lot of money. We decided, hey, maybe we can do something that's almost as good as what they do. And I'm sitting there like, this motherfucker, he's trying to throw me off. He's being nice. After all that smack talk on the email, he's being nice. This motherfucker's not getting away with it. I was like, I'm going out there and I'm doing my best stuff, right? So I actually went out there with, there's the, like, the president is leaving because his son's graduating from the school. So there's the new president and me. I'm kind of the sidekick. I don't know if that's an official title, but it's kind of I'm like the muscle, you know.
That's right.
I'm the guy with the football, right?
That's right.
I stand back with my arms crossed,
not saying a word.
That's right. So I go out there, like, on the stage. I'm waving my arms. The auctioneer's got his back to me. I'm, like, waving my arms. He doesn't see me. Like, you know, I'm pecking on his shoulder. He's like, what? He turns around. There's 325 people in this room, right? They're all in tuxes, formal gowns, and all that. And he hands me the microphone, and I said, this is bullshit. I said, We have been working on this thing for years. All right. We've raised a lot of money for this school. And now these guys, and oh, one of the things that happened last year was we had a competition with these guys
mm-hmm.
on who can make the best bacon dish.
Mm-hmm.
And you voted by putting money in a box, like whichever one you like better, you put a donation.
Right.
And all the donations went to charity. Well, these guys, as the voting was winding down, they just started pulling $100 bills out of their pockets and putting it in their thing, right? And so he was bragging how they won that competition last year during mm-hmm. his little speech. Even though he was nice, he's kind of going, and, you know, we were inspired by the Dad's Club. And then, you know, we won the bacon competition last year. So we have some skills too, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, so when I get up there, I'm like, this is bullshit. And these guys, I said, first of all, the copycats from the church, I'm happy that we've been able to inspire them. But as far as that competition goes, if you can call it a competition, I said, they just started pulling $100 bills out of their pockets. These 1%ers, if they think that they can call that a win, that sounds like another politician from a recent election who won the election, who bought the election and got fewer votes. And then the room got quiet. I'm standing up there at this. It's the most exclusive school in Indianapolis. And it's like $15,000 a year to send your kid there. And the guy who had just been on stage is a Republican lobbyist. And like probably half of the Republican, like, donors in the city are sitting in the room, right? But you know who else was in the room? A lot of fucking progressives and a good number of African Americans. And when I said that, fucking room just got silent. Like another politician who bought a recent election and got fewer votes. Quiet. You could feel people looking at each other, and then laughter. The whole room went up in flames. It was sort of like the, oh, no, he didn't.
That's right.
It's like, oh, yes, I did.
The one guy out there starts doing the clap, you know. Your poor wife. She's doing like the, I don't know. Get off the stage. She's yelling at you.
Yeah. She's like trying to find that big hook
thing
they used to use in vaudeville. Where's that goddamn hook? And then, so then, of course, I brought it back. I said, but you know what? In spite of all that, a lot of us are parents in here, right? And you know what makes you more proud than your own accomplishments? It's when your children accomplish something. And so I'm glad and I'm proud that we've inspired these old guys to learn something new, right? And now here they are. Even though you could go to Steak and Shake and probably get a decent, you'd be guaranteed a decent dinner, you could take a chance on these guys, who I'm very proud of. And it went on from there. And we ended up hugging it out with the guy. And it turned out, and suddenly I was famous. Like the rest of the night. Like that was the auction. And then after the auction, there was the fake gambling thing that you do.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever been to fake gambling, but
I know,
cocktails, dancing and all that. And for the rest of the night. And one of the people that spoke was actually one of the news anchors here in town. Her name is can't think of her name. I'll have to think of it later because people from Indy want to know what it was. But her kids went to St. Richard's, and she came up to me afterwards and was like, man, you should be a comedian. That was funny. And I just said, really? What makes you think I'm not?
I'd have been like,
don'tpanicradioshow.com. So I've been getting like, I got one person who said, oh, man. Oh, it was my doctor. Because my doctor was sitting at the same table. Mm-hmm. His kids go to St. Richard's too. So I was talking, so I had an appointment with him on Monday. And he's like, oh, man. He's like, the guy sitting next to me, who was that? And he's my buddy, HJ. He's like, I was like, oh, that was HJ. He goes, he looks at me and he goes, oh, Steve just went too far. I said, oh, Kevin, you have to understand. HJ is a diehard Republican. I mean, he's super rich and he donates to the Republicans all the time, you know. But he's a cool guy. I was like, it doesn't matter. He's just awesome. And then today at my daughter's basketball game, I'm sitting there. This beautiful young lady of color taps me on the shoulder and goes, did you get in trouble the other night? Like, I couldn't think of what she was talking about. It was totally out of context.
You mean with my wife? What did I do? Let's see. Did I forget to put the seat down?
Did I forget to ask her how her day was? Like, did I get picked up for DUI and forget? I was like, she's like, you know, at the regalia, the speech. I was like, and she goes, because my table, we were cracking up. I was like, oh, no, I didn't get in trouble. No, I was like, a few people couldn't believe I said what I said, but I was like, no, I didn't get in trouble. I was like, everybody, I said, I know the guy that I was making fun of, and we're friends. Mm-hmm. And he's a good guy, and we emailed afterwards. And I said, you didn't see what he emailed beforehand. So I was not going to let that go. And besides, once Valletta got up there and started talking about Octopussy, I was like, hey, Katie barred the door.
That's right.
Katie ain't even here. So I know I've been doing a lot of talking up to this point. And we still, I promised our listeners who also see our Facebook, mm-hmm, that we would ask a Facebook question of the week. And if they got their answers in before about 11 o'clock Eastern time, that we would, that there's a good chance that we would talk about it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we probably ought to, at some point, come up with a Facebook question of the day.
Yeah, maybe we should come up with one and then, like, go to a commercial and then come back and see how that goes.
All right, dear listeners, for reasons which will be revealed later, Facebook question of the week, favorite game show when you were growing up? Go. Somebody bring down my neck while I'm trying to roll a bone. I don't care, I just blow the check, cause I'm feeling my gal gone. You know what I figure makes Donald Trump jokes fair game amongst a mixed crowd of conservatives, liberals, whatever? They know what's up, right? The Republicans know what's up. I mean, they know. It's like being a New England Patriots fan. I mean, you know, right? And you know that the jokes are fair game. And you just got to sit there and you just got to go, ha ha, ah, fuck you, you know? But you can't hold it personally against the person because you know what you got, right? Like if you, so let's say you're having trouble getting a prom date and you end up going with the sluttiest slut at the school, right? And you know you're going to get laid later, by the way. Maybe you get laid on the way to the prom. Hmm. Or at least you get it blown or whatever. And at the prom, your friends are like, hey, wow, I could probably get laid by her tonight. You know? Mm-hmm. You can't be mad. You just got to be like, yeah, but you won't because I'm the one that's with her, right?
That's right.
So like if I make fun of Donald Trump for, you know, buying the election or getting fewer votes or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you're a Republican, you just got to go, ha, ha, you motherfucker. You're right. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm mad about that shit. I didn't make fun of people who vote for Donald Trump. See, that's the difference. That's what I'm talking about. All right. That's what I'm talking about. I think you can make fun of Donald Trump. But if you make fun of the people that voted for Donald Trump or who support Donald Trump, now you're treading on, dangerous waters because they'll take that shit personally. But if you make it about Trump himself, you've always got the, he's a reality show guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I get why you would support him. I'm just saying he didn't get as many votes as the other person. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's all you're saying.
You know what happened today during a business meeting? I'm sitting there with like the client boss that I report to, plus a couple of peers and one of my boss's peers or whatever. We're having a serious conversation, right? And this has happened before, and I took a picture of it, put it on Facebook. But it's been months. We're sitting there. I'm drinking my coffee. Right? And it's starting to feel a little wet on the outside, right? And the client looks at it and goes, what's going on with your coffee? I was like, what do you mean what's going on with my coffee? I look down and there's like a ring around the top where the fucking styrofoam cup is being eaten away by whatever's in the cup. I was like, I don't know, but I better go get some paper towels.
And maybe some different coffee. I mean...
Well, I didn't tell them this. I feigned ignorance. But here's my admonition. Is that a word?
It is now.
Here's my phrase of caution to the youngsters out there. If you decide to do the bulletproof coffee thing and include the MCT oil, which is medium chain triglyceride fatty acid, turns out if you get that shit hot, it will eat a hole in a styrofoam cup. Because it only did it right at the top,
right,
which is, you know, the oil floats to the top.
Mm-hmm.
But it's already 180 degrees or whatever coffee is. And it will eat a hole right in that goddamn styrofoam cup. And if it's eating a hole in it, you know, the styrofoam part's not evaporating into the air,
mm-mm,
right? It's going into the coffee. So I had a nice cup of coffee and styrofoam today.
You'll be passing that later.
Yeah. Why is there a styrofoam cup in the toilet?
Well, you know, it's all clingy, you know, because it's styrofoam, like the little beads. you're trying to wipe that shit away, and it's like sticking to your hand. And.
Check and see We'll interpret them irresponsibly. Come on, baby, don't read the article. It's headlines, headlines. This one comes at a particularly sensitive moment. The Anne Frank Center demands an apology from Tim Allen after his 1930s Germany comment. If we're going to irresponsibly interpret this one, we're going to have to think about what was going on in 1930s in Germany.
Weren't they getting their asses handed to them by Jesse Owens back then?
For my next impression, Jesse Owens. I believe what they're referring to here is Tim Allen is a conservative dude who lives in Hollywood. I believe they're talking about, he said that living in Hollywood as a conservative is like living in 1930s Germany. And I think rightfully so, the Anne Frank Center, which I presume is a Jewish organization, they came out and demanded an apology, saying that, you know, what was going on in the 1930s in Germany is people were being rounded up and put in concentration camps and killed and raped on the streets. And that does not, I mean, unless they were like, they actually said, unless, Tim Allen, you're being raped on the streets, we don't think it compares.
But on the flip side of that, though, they're getting worked up over Tim Allen.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Allen, really? You want to, is he, I mean, you they probably just did more for his career,
right,
than Home Improvement.
I mean, he's not even the star of his own current TV show.
Is he the star of any show?
Well, he's the dad on, I think it's called Last Man Standing, but he gets swallowed up by everyone around him in that show because there's all these other characters. It's like, it's Tim Allen, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. That was one of my thoughts. My other thought was, well, Anne Frank Center, maybe they did this and it wasn't in the news. Mm-hmm. And I admit I'm not an expert on the Anne Frank Center, but you might need to go back and check on a few things. I mean, start with Dick Durbin, senator from Illinois, who said that he wasn't sure whether he was living in the United States or Nazi Germany. And, you know, you might need to investigate a few other times when George Bush was referred to as a Nazi.
Yeah. Like I said, they're getting worked up over Tim Allen. That's pretty tragic.
Next, we have this from the Gallup News Service.
Hey, wait, what's that stand for?
Service.
Oh, okay.
London attack. Assailant shot dead after four killed near Parliament. And this, by the way, this was on the bridge that goes past the Big Ben Parliament. Little kids.
You know, can't get left.
Can't get left. There's a bridge that goes across the River Thames, or Thames, as we used to call it. And I have pictures from there. And now I'm mm-hmm. looking at the pictures of the shit that just went down there, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I was standing there.
Mm-hmm.
I was there. I recognize that. And I was thinking, I mean, if you have to be killed, it's one of two things. It's like you're having the best time of your life, because you're right there near Parliament, mm-hmm. enjoying the funky grooves of George Clinton. You're just funking out to Parliament, and then you're just dead.
What a way to go.
So is that great because you were having the time of your life because you're hanging out with Parliament? Or is that awful because you're hanging out with Parliament, finally, and then as luck would have it, you're dead?
Yeah, well, what else are you going to do? After you've hung out with Parliament, what else could you possibly do with your life?
Well, not going to do any better than that.
I was thinking when you saw London attack, you were thinking, all right, Gerard Butler's got a new movie.
That was the other thought I had. I was like, oh, yeah, London falling. London has fallen. only four people dead. The bridge wasn't destroyed. Damn it. Jeremy Piven's going to have to find another vehicle.
I got nothing.
What is? Yeah, is good. Is good. Yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell. That's my terrorist impression. In other news about death, this one's from NBC News.
What's that backwards?
It's evening. Chuck Barris, king of daytime TV, who claimed to be a CIA assassin, is dead at 87.
Or is he?
That was perfect. I don't even know if you knew what I was going to say. Did you know that? I did not know that he claimed to be a CIA assassin.
Have you never seen Confessions of a Dangerous Mind?
No.
Well, because they never made a sequel. That's why you never saw it.
Or did they?
Or did they? No, it's Ed Norton plays Chuck Barris. And
hey, Ralphie boy.
Hey, Ralphie boy. Not Edward Norton.
No, hey, Ralphie boy.
Edward Norton, yes.
And we're going to use the gong this time, Ralphie boy. We're going to get rich. We're going to be rich.
Does it say anything about spearfishing? No, Edward Norton plays Chuck Barris. And it's based on a book that Barris wrote that's supposed to be an autobiography about his time as a CIA assassin.
How did he do?
He did quite well. People? Yeah, it's very funny. You got to check it out. I'm sure it'll be on Netflix soon because of this.
I'm just like, I can't hear the name Ed Norton.
I know, right?
Without thinking about the Honeymooners. And I can't hear the word Parliament without thinking about Parliament Funkadelic.
This is how we're programmed. You would think Edward Norton would have went, I'm going to change my name, get a Hollywood stage name. or is that his stage name? Edward Norton's real name is Art Carney, you know, and he thought he'd change it.
You go to IMDb and it's like, Edward Norton, born Arthur Carney. What? Then you find out he's his son. Born Arthur Carney Jr. He grew up in the shadow of his relatively famous sidekick father.
Well, Ed Norton, the Art Carney Ed Norton, is just one of the many. Yeah, we have to clarify this. He's just one of the classic examples of the sidekick that was as popular, if not more popular, than the main character of the show. But
you know what I do on a regular basis? I'm not going to say I do it every week, but often. I would say maybe 2 out of 10 times. When we get done recording, I'll go straight to YouTube and just start pulling stuff up. Mm-hmm. I think I got to do some research on Art Carney.
Okay.
Because if you think about the Honeymooners, I mean, Jackie Gleason has no equal.
No.
But he would not have been who he is if it weren't for Audrey. Who played Alice?
Audrey Meadows.
Audrey Meadows and Art Carney.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ed Norton's wife was good, but I can't remember her name. What was her name? Audrey Meadows. Whatever her name was.
Yeah.
She was good, but like she could have, like, anybody could have played her because she just, all she had was a lot of like response lines.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
But Audrey Meadows was like a main force for that show.
Yep.
But Art Carney, like, was the comedy of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, Jackie Gleason was funny. But if it weren't for Art Carney for him to play off of, I like to think of, all right, now don't think of body type. But I like to think of myself as the Art Carney to your Jackie Gleason, you know? Or maybe the other way around. I'm not sure.
See, now,
I'm like the Abbott to your Costello.
Now I'm remembering when we were kids, we were waiting for the bus, and it was cold out, and the bus is coming around the corner, and we hear like, hey, there's the bus. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You're like, will you get outside? It turned into a total honeymooners moment.
I guess I'm the Jackie Gleason to your
you honey. Had, you even had the
will you get outside? Oh, my God. My brother and I would have no relationship if it weren't for the Honeymooners and Benny Hill.
Right.
I mean, all we do is like, and MASH. All we do is throwbacks. It's like whenever it gets a little bit quiet, somebody will just go, who is the, it's like the question is, who is the composer of this song? The famous Swanee River. Who is the composer? Humana. Ed Norton. And so, if it gets quiet, we don't know what else to say to each other, we'll just go, Humana. Well, you better not. All right. Folks, this is the inside joke segment of the program.
I think we explained it okay.
Oh, man. Okay, so anyway, you were talking about Edward Norton. And what movie was it?
Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
That was the Chuck Barris thing?
Yes.
So did he really believe this? Or it was a... I mean, this is NBC, which I assume hasn't devolved into fake news yet. They're saying he claimed to be a CIA assassin.
Yeah, he claimed he was, but...
Did he really believe it? Or did he really think other people would believe it?
Well, I didn't know the guy personally, but, I mean...
Well, I'm just saying, what I'm saying is, was this a gag? Or was this, like, he was serious?
I'm sure it was a gag. I honestly couldn't tell. I'm willing to bet it was a gag that he just went with, you know, to add... Because he was a master showman. I mean, let's face it. You know, the guy knew what he was doing. He was the Jerry Springer of his day. I mean, he knew how to wrangle and how to get a show going and how to keep it going.
Well, let's talk about the 800-pound gorilla in the room.
Okay.
Several days ago.
Is it behind me?
Yes.
Okay.
So I didn't say which room.
Oh.
Several days ago, we lost a legend. I don't have words that are adequate to describe what an influence this man had on me. I'm talking about the incomparable Chuck Berry. I mean, I still remember the first time we were driving in the old Ford. And my father turned on the radio, and he thought he was turning on a country station, but my brother and I had been fiddling with the Victrola earlier that week. And when my father turned on the radio, it was actually on a rock and roll station. And in those days, rock and roll was something devious and demented. And I still remember the sounds of Johnny B. Goode coming out of those speakers. The haunting guitar riff and the riveting lyrics coming from those speakers.
Like they were speaking directly to you.
And then I found out he was a colored fella. And I thought, if this colored fella can do that, my colored friend at school is probably not as bad as I've made him out to be, or probably not even half as bad as I've tried to get all my friends to think he is. He might even have a soul, I thought. So that next Monday, I walked into school, my chin up, my head held high. I walked right up to that little colored boy. And I said, you know what? You're a human being, just like, well, maybe not just like, but almost like me. I said, maybe someday, if Chuck Berry can do what I heard in my dad's Ford Fairlane, if Chuck Berry, a fellow colored fella, can can do what he did, maybe someday you can do something too with your life. You go home and you tell your parents that a little white boy today told you you're someone. And the next day, his big brother kicked the shit out of me and fucking beat my ass. I was like, damn, I guess you got to be careful how you talk to black people.
and that little colored boy went on to become President Barack Obama.
President Barack Obama. He's like, look. When I was in first grade, this fucking cracker came up to me and he called me boy and he called me colored. And he patronized me. And I knew from that moment on that I would be somebody, and not just somebody, but I would be a president someday. And I would fuck up that little boy's health insurance.
He's thinking long-term revenge. Then it becomes, thanks, Steve.
For our new listeners, Steve isn't actually racist. He's just going for a humor effect. All right, so to be clear, Chuck Berry, legend, hugely influential, apparently.
Yeah.
I've read. If it weren't for Chuck Berry, Michael J. Fox never would have had that scene in Back to the Future.
Time would never be the same.
That's right. Died just a few days ago. And then Chuck Barris, who I remember when I was a kid thinking, wow, his name is really similar to Chuck Berry's.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't occur to me until today when I read that he died. I was like, damn, Chuck Berry died and then Chuck Barris died? Somebody get eyes on... Barry Gibb, I don't know.
I think he's dead, actually.
It was like a 20-minute internet search looking for somebody else with a similar name. And then I finally posted that. And then my buddy Chuck Baxter is like, should I be worried? And I bring that up because he's a frequent contributor to the program.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, it, like every Facebook question of the week, he weighs in. I'm like, oh, why didn't I think of Chuck Baxter? Like, yeah, maybe you should. I was like, so my response to him was, well, you know, maybe you should just stay in bed until this whole thing blows over.
See, I like to think that, you know, Chuck Berry and some other reality, Chuck Berry and Chuck Barris, you know, faked their deaths. And, you know, became like CIA operatives, you know, and it's like, it's like a, what was it? Like a Lethal Weapon combination, you know?
Well, they're, you know what they're doing? They're hanging out with Elvis, making really good sandwiches out of perfectly normal beasts. Hey, before we get too drunk, let's check in on Facebook, see what's going on. Obviously, dear listeners, the question of the week was favorite game show from when you were growing up, in honor and memoriam of Chuck Barris, host of The Gong Show.
Another show that we can sort of add to our collection of shows that influenced us as kids. Because it really, you know, everyone has done The Unknown Comic at some point, or... Gene the Dancing Machine, you know, everybody's done that.
The Gong Show was all about take the worst, the absolute worst acts that you can find, put them on a show.
and it gave steady work to Jamie Farr, though. Jack Klugman, and, you know.
The competition will be, let's see who doesn't make the panel of the fake judges hate you so much that they'll ring a gong.
But you know what the absolute beauty of that show was? It cost them nothing, and right. It made them tons. Because anybody and everybody wants to be on TV, so it was kind of groundbreaking in its way.
All right. In an almost unpredictable fashion, we have a ton of comments. Wendy Swank, who is the aforementioned Chuck Baxter's girlfriend. Wendy, if you're listening, please, for the love of God, lock the gun cabinet. The Price is Right with Bob Barker. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My lovely bride says, Wheel of Fortune and Price is Right. To which I was almost going to say bullshit. And then she said, now it's Jeopardy. You know, do you remember, I don't know if this happened in your house, but in my house, when the weather came on, you fucking, if you made a fucking peep, you were killed, right?
Yes.
It's like, weather's on, the weather's on. Shut up, the weather's on. In my house now, it's Jeopardy. And the kids know it. It's like if you hear Alex Trebek, the kids are like fucking when they're fighting and like screaming at each other, I'll just go, it's Jeopardy. And they shut up immediately.
They hit the ground. They're like
they hit the ground.
Go under a table, you know, put a book over their head, you know.
Exactly. Spinner Lisa says, The Price is Right is the first one I remember watching the most as a young kid. When I was a preteen, it was Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. Thank you. Denny Utter. Oh, the Joker's Wild. I forgot about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
I had a friend of mine, his brother or sister went on that show, and, you know, when he's giving you the, you know, handing out the money that you won, you know, he goes, it wasn't real. It was like fake money. But, I mean, obviously they got real money, but it was just kind of a funny thing.
My whole childhood was a lie.
That's right.
My niece, Nicole Franco, who I know as Nikki, says Family Feud and the Newlywed Game. Mm. I wasn't supposed to watch the latter, but I was a rebel.
Yeah. Newlywed Game, when it was the original host, whose name escapes me, Bob Eubanks. The difference between the Newlywed Game now and the Newlywed Game then is the risqueness of the questions and the answers. Right. Nowadays, there's nothing. They can't say anything that's going to make you, like, you know, blush, because it's just complete. Everything's out there now.
To this day, I call making love whoopee, right? Making whoopee. And I can't believe we haven't done this joke on the show, so I'd have to go back and listen to the last 112 episodes to see if we already did it. But the whole thing about the question was, for those of you who don't know, James, Newlywed Game was like a couple who was recently married. The game show, the contest was, let's see how well you know your recent betrothed, right? Uh-huh. And so they would send the groom or the bride off of the stage. And so let's say they send the bride off the stage, the groom is still there, and they ask the groom a question, and it is, what will your bride say to the answer of this question? And then, you know, once they've all given answers, they bring the brides back in. Then they ask the bride the same question, and she gives her answer. And if it matches the groom's answer, you win points, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the question was, what is the strangest place that you have made whoopee? And making whoopee, SFJ, means having sex, right? So they asked the men this, right? The women are off stage. They ask the man, what's the strangest place? What will your wife say is the strangest place you ever made whoopee? And who knows? The couples are like in a car, in bedroom at her parents' house, you know, in the basement of the church, whatever. Strange places, right? So they bring the women back in. And the first woman, Bob Eubanks, is like, what is the strangest place you've ever made whoopee? And the woman goes, well, Bob, I'd have to say in the butt.
And how they finished that show, I have no idea.
And I, that would, I would have to say in the butt, Bob.
Yes.
That was a great one. Thank you, Nikki. Melissa Peterson says, press your luck. To which Wendy Shank said, no whammies, no whammies, no whammies, no whammies. Bob Otto said, Hollywood Squares, absolutely the best. What was that guy's name that was always on there? He was never on anything else, but he was on Hollywood Squares.
Oh, you're thinking of Paul Lynn.
Yeah, Paul Lynn.
Yeah, yeah.
Gay as fuck. Oh, why didn't I just keep reading? MP Cavalier says, Hollywood Squares. Mostly scripted, but Paul Lynn was fucking hilarious.
Yes.
I should just keep reading and stop improvising. Bill Tibbles, Family Feud. Rob Dillon, Match Game PM. I'm not familiar with the PM part. Tracy Hart says all of them. Cop out. Hmm. Carl, Uncle Carl. Hello, Uncle Carl. We love you, buddy. Hey. Come on the show again sometime. Yeah, got to go with Hollywood Squares and Family Feud. Buddy from Colorado, MXC. What does that mean? Dude, we don't get the texting lingo and stuff. He's pretty young. He's like 35.
Well, if he's young and living in Colorado, he's probably high.
Oh, that's true.
So he probably thought he was typing something.
Laura Kessner, former girlfriend of my good friend Greg from California. Will if fortune when they had the showcase and people could shop with the money they just won. I remember that. Oh, that was great. I don't know why they did away with that other than it might have been fucking boring. But it was great.
What are you going to do with a kayak? And
they'd win this money. They're, I'll have the kayak and the year's supply of Purina dog food. You have a dog? No, but I'll have the. But there's nothing else.
That's right.
Really worth anything.
Well, that leaves you with 11. Yeah, that leaves you with $11. Would you like that in a gift certificate or?
Yeah, or on your account. I'll have the $2,500 Visa gift card, please. This fucking Facebook question of the day is great. We might have to put a warning because I've said that F word an awful lot today. On this show. All right. Before we get too inebriated to do the post-processing of our audio, Paul, what was your favorite game show growing up?
I got to give it up for Match Game, dude. I still watch Match Game to this day, even though that was the who's who of... If you were like a celebrity, you were on Match Game, and some of the, I've had seasons of them on DVD. Don't ask, I just have. And I was watching a bunch of interviews with the celebrities who are still around, and they were like, you know, we would record 5 episodes in one day, but. About halfway through, we'd break for lunch. Lunch usually involved about 3 or 4 cocktails. So if you watch on Thursday and Friday when our jokes would get funnier and we'd get more loot, it's because we were drunk. I absolutely love Match Game. It's probably my favorite. What was yours?
Match Game was really, really good. Paul Lynn, man, he was a regular, and he made that show, right? But I don't know. I'm gonna go on with the nostalgia angle on this one, and Family Feud was in the lineup. Richard Dawson kissing those women.
Mm-hmm. Family Feud came about because Richard Dawson was on Match Game. And he was basically feeling like he was being overshadowed. So the producers took the last aspect of Match Game and turned it into Family Feud for him. So they're kind of the same, almost the same game. Yeah, Match Game or Family Feud is great. But
well, just think if he had not finally been allowed to escape from Stalag 13, he would never have been able to host that game show.
That's right. He's a goddamn war hero.
I know nothing. I see nothing. Yeah, that one, that was the nostalgia answer. I mean, fucking game shows. I mean, the hell.
Yeah.
Why does anybody like any of them?
Once again, they cost nothing to produce. They make the company, they make the networks bundles of money, and people love them.
Right. Ooh, we should have a Don't Panic game show.
That would be great.
Who the hell has a game show on YouTube even? I mean, nobody's doing game shows.
We should totally figure out how to make the Don't Panic game show.
We should be so lucky as to have somebody listening who has enough motivation to take our idea to actually do something with it. Ooh, wait. You know, we have a lot of highly motivated people listening to our show. Just looking for an idea.
As evidenced by, you know, your responses, I would say we do. I mean,
It's true. Well, I'll tell you what, man. We've had a pretty good run here. And we should probably save some for next week.
That's right. I don't want to use it all up at once.
Yeah. But, hey, thanks for asking. Do you have any other topics you would like to discuss?
Well, my youngest came home from school yesterday with a pretty good joke.
Oh, let's hear it.
Okay, she's 9. Okay, I gotta preface that. Why did the sheep get a parking ticket?
Why did the sheep get a parking ticket? I don't know. Why did the sheep get a parking ticket?
Because he was a bad driver.
Oh. Well, we better quit while we're behind. Head on over to don'tpanicradioshow.com. Tell a friend. We love it when you do that. We would love it if anybody ever did that. All right, man. For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vincent. And nothing
you
just heard
what's
true.